Now, we can't confirm this. Rumors are our next guest was one of the pranksters on the John Tortorella press conference earlier today from CBS Sports. NHL hockey writer Chris Peters joins us. Chris, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, and I can neither confirm nor deny that rumor.
Oh, man, U.S. hockey is definitely not liking how that went down earlier today.
It was a bit odd.
Are you surprised Tortorella was the choice for the head coach for the world?
You know, it's funny. After I heard Dean Lombardi speak in his introductory press conference in Lake Placid, listening to his words, I felt like he was almost tipping his hand a bit. And so when it was Tortorella, I did not really, it didn't shock me at all. And I think these are a couple of Massachusetts guys that very similar in kind of, you know, Dean Lombardi might not be as explosive as John Tortorella, but he's certainly not one to hold back his opinions. And I think that that's actually, they're kind of, you know, they'll work together very well. I think that they're a good fit. So, I think you look at the number of coaches at their disposal, and I think Peter Laviolette and Todd Richards, who did a great job at the Worlds recently, they had no shortage of candidates. But you know, now you get a guy, and this is his only job right now, aside from being a TV analyst again. You know, he's going to be this is his team. The Team USA is his group. That's all he has right now. So I think that there may be a benefit to that.
How do you think the American team will stack up? Canada is obviously going to come in as a favorite. Are the Americans number two, or the Swedes or Russians? Who do you have?
Yeah, I think on paper, you know, Sweden, just with their defense and goaltending, and I think they're probably the number two group. You know, I think the way that the Olympics stacked up wasn't necessarily all that far off from the way things really are. I think the Americans kind of blew it against the Finland in the bronze medal game. But really, yeah, I mean, you look at the way that things are going right now and the fact that they're going to actually have guys missing that could be on the team. I think Johnny Gaudreau and Brandon Saad would have a great shot at making the roster for this team, but they won't be available because they're going to have to play on Team North America. So you take a couple players out of the player pool, and that can impact the team. So, yeah, I mean, I think as far as they stack up, there's a clear gap between Canada and the U.S., and we thought that gap wasn't as wide in 2010, but it doesn't seem to be getting any closer after what we saw in Sochi and certainly at other events. So, I think that they have a good group. I certainly think that they can compete. I think they can win, but it's going to be a challenge because they are potentially going to be missing a few young guys that can make the club.
Chris, looking at the Eastern Conference, and you see teams that weren't playoff teams last year, and, you know, Philadelphia, Boston would be some teams that I think people would look and say, okay, you know what, maybe they're going to bounce back. Columbus, Florida, Philly, Boston, out of those four, who do you think is the best chance to be a playoff team?
Well, I think Boston. You know, I think that Tuukka Rask is such an X factor, and I'd probably say, like, they'd be one, and then number two would probably be Columbus for similar reasons. But I just think that, you know, is Boston's defense is a real question. I mean, I'm not sure exactly how good they're going to be defensively. I still think they have enough up front to get the job done. You know, they're going to have David Krejci healthy, which is a huge factor. I think that was a huge story for them just all season long, not having a guy like that in the lineup for almost half the year. I think that if Tuukka Rask is on his game, if maybe they don't lean on him as heavily as they did last season, they still have a shot. But I really like the way that what Columbus has done. You know, I think they have similar concerns defensively, their top six is real good, and they've got a great goaltender in Bobrovsky. So I think those two teams of that group would be the safer picks. But I mean, you look at Columbus is going to have to deal with the Metropolitan Division, which is going to be an absolute grind. I think this year there's so many. That's kind of a top-heavy division with a lot of a good crowd in the top four teams there. So it's going to be an interesting mix, I think.
Chris Peters joins us from CBS Sports, NHL hockey writer, as the preseason officially began on Sunday. More games leading up to it. A lot of teams starting to pare down and different things like that. Always the tough question, but when you look at coaches in the NHL, which coaches do you think are on the shortest leash to start this season?
Yeah, you know, that's interesting. It's a tough time of year to be thinking that, but I think you look at the guys that kind of had tough playoff runs. You look at Bruce Boudreau. I don't think Anaheim's been so good in the regular season over the last few years. I don't think that there's going to be a way they could justify getting rid of him. But we all thought, hey, maybe there's a chance they lose in Game 7 in the Western Conference Final, and maybe there's a chance that he goes. But the interesting thing there is that he's got, you know, Paul McClain on his bench and Dallas Aikens below him. And so there's kind of coaches in waiting if there's ever, you know, if things go south quickly for that team. And then really Ken Hitchcock as well. You know, he's got that 1-year deal, and you know they need something now, because I think the Blues have more pressure on them than just about anybody to make a difference. And so many of these guys, the question marks come in the playoffs, so it's hard to see how you make that decision early on in the season. But those are two veteran head coaches that have had a lot of success that, you know, we just don't know. This is so uncertain, and we don't know what the relationships are like with the general managers and all things like that. I mean, it's hard to know for sure. But you know, I look at those two guys as, you know, there's so much pressure on them, I think, maybe more than any other coaches in the NHL right now.
From a distance, what do you make of the Edmonton Oilers?
From a distance, I think they're headed in the right direction. I think everybody would say that. But, you know, I'm very interested to see just how much of an impact Connor McDavid has this season, not just, you know, in terms of point production and things like that individually, but, you know, I just feel like the mentality of the organization has changed so much. And that happens with the way that the executive structure has changed as well, which I think is one of the most important things of the entire offseason for Edmonton. Obviously, getting McDavid, that's a franchise-changing situation. But you also have the people in charge that you might have a little bit more faith in building around him now. And there's not, like, this isn't the same old Oilers. It just doesn't feel that way, and it hasn't felt that way since Bob Nicholson took over. So I think it's going to be a tough year just because there are so many good teams in the West, and getting through the West, getting the playoffs in the Western Conference is so much more difficult just because of the grind. But I think as long as you see steps forward, if you see a team that's in the race late in the year, if you see a team that's pushing, making other teams nervous, I think that's a good year. And then you can start continuing to build around guys, to make decisions on some of the guys you're not sure of on this year, you know, if they're really part of the long-term plans. Maybe there are so many young guys, maybe you have to get rid of one of them to build something, get the defense a little bit more improved. And obviously the goaltending right now is a huge question mark. We'll see how that plays out. But I think this is a team that clearly has changed its culture just right off the bat, and that could be the biggest difference of them all, taking the steps necessary to be a competitive team in the National Hockey League.
What's your thoughts on Eric Staal and Steven Stamkos? Do you think they both test free agency?
Well, I think at this point I'm very interested if Staal will. I don't think there's any way that the Tampa Bay Lightning let Steven Stamkos go, and I don't think I think he's very aware of the situation that he's in there. And I, you know, as tempting as it would be to potentially go to Toronto, he's in a great situation with a team that's set up for years to come in pretty much every position. So that's a good situation to be in. You know, if there's tempting, as tempting as it may be to be a franchise savior, and then maybe that makes Eric Staal plan B, I don't know, but for the Maple Leafs. But really, it's just that is such a weird situation in Carolina, because we don't really know where they go next. You know, they're kind of in a rebuilding mode, but you know, there's still so much that they have to do. It's going to be a while before they can probably be real competitive again. But so I think they're in such different situations, those two guys. And obviously there's the brother element for Eric Staal as well, and kind of that familiarity of the organization, having been there his entire career. But very unique situations for both of them. And I would be a little bit surprised if either of them ended up making it to free agency. But I would say Staal is more likely than Stamkos at this point.
Well, Chris, should be an interesting season and a potential free agent season if some of those big names actually make it. Appreciate your time.
Hey, thanks for having me.